Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. We've been emphasizing a passage, Proverbs 14, verse 12, the last several weeks. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So just because something seems right to us doesn't necessarily make it right. It's going to have to be compatible, equal to what God's word teaches for it to be right. It may seem right to us, but that could lead to death, spiritual death, if we're not following God's word. We've been talking about this idea of using the Bible as our guidebook or our rule book. Here's a perfectly good example of somebody who's not using the Bible as their rule book, their guidebook, and it's obvious. This is a quote from Catherine Shorey, who, when she said this, was the head of the Episcopal Church USA, the head of the whole Episcopal Church USA. She was asked, quote, "Is belief in Jesus the only way to get to heaven?" Now, her being the head of a church, you would expect her to say, absolutely yes, unequivocally yes, Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's not what she said. Here's her answer. Quote, "To assume that God could not act in other ways is, I think, to put God in an awfully small box." In other words, her answer is no. That if you say Jesus is the only way to heaven, that's putting God in a small box. That's one of the basics. One of the most basics. Remember, Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus is the only way, he's saying. But Catherine Shorey, the head of the Episcopal Church, says if you were to teach that, that would be putting God in an awfully small box. Now, this may be surprising, but Billy Graham said essentially the same thing. One of the most famous preachers of our generation preached, you know, many crusades. At the end of the crusades, come forward and accept Christ as your personal Savior. But here's what Mr. Graham said in an interview with Robert Schuller in 1990 said. He says, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world, they are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light they have, and I think they're saved. And they're going to be with us in heaven. What was Billy Graham saying in 1997? Muslims, Buddhists, even if they don't even know the name of Jesus, they're going to be saved and be with us in heaven. I guess he's saying if they follow their religion faithfully. Huh. So Billy Graham is agreeing with this head of the Episcopal Church that you don't really have to believe in Jesus to be saved. You're not sure? Here's another interview he did in McCall's magazine, January 1978. Here's a quote from Billy Graham. "I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell, if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature, for instance, and plenty of other opportunities, therefore, of saying yes to God." People and pagans in far-off countries are going to be saved without even believing in Jesus Christ, is what Billy Graham was saying. But, of course, we know of passages like John 8, 24. Jesus speaking there again. He said, "I said, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins." He unequivocally says you got to believe in Jesus to be saved. Now, let's ask ourselves this question. Were the Episcopal Church and Billy Graham still using the Bible as their guidebook, their rule book? Obviously not. If they're saying you can be saved without believing in Jesus, and the Bible says over and over again you got to believe in Jesus to be saved, they're not really using the Bible as their guidebook. You may think your church is using the Bible as a guide, but most likely they're not really doing it. Most likely their procedures, their beliefs, what they require are more to try to be in line with what will bring in the most people. Not necessarily what the Bible says or teaches, But what will please the most number of people so they can get people to come, make a contribution? If you have a Bible question or comment, I would like you to give us a call. 877-655. Well, hold on. Ed, can you put on my screen the number? I lost the number. It's not with me. The 877 number, could you give me that number? Here's what the Bible says about faith only. Here's the number. Thank you, Ed. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. I should have that number memorized by now. Thank you, Ed. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. Here's what the Bible says about faith only salvation. James 2:24. It's pretty clear. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, a lot of people, a lot of preachers, a lot of churches say you're justified by faith only. But this is your by works a man is justified, not by faith only. What church teaches that? Well, how about the Methodist Church? Here's their creed book. They say, wherefore that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. They're teaching you're justified by faith only. The Bible says it's not by faith only. James 2:24. That's very clear. Are the churches that teach salvation by faith only, are they still using the Bible as their rule book, their guidebook? Obviously not. Obviously not. Here's what the Bible says about the form or action of baptism. Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So in baptism, we're buried with him, with Christ. Let me ask you this. When somebody dies and we take them out to the graveyard to bury them, does that mean we sprinkle a little dirt on their head or put them all the way up under the water? Oh, all the way up under the ground. We know what buried means. So if we're going to bury somebody with Christ in baptism, it's going to mean that we sprinkle a little dirt on their head or put them all the way up under the ground. We know what buried means. All churches used to immerse when they baptized. Even the Catholic Church, if you can imagine, used to immerse. Here's their book, Our Faith in the Facts. The church, talking about the Catholic Church, at one time practiced immersion. This was up to the 13th century. The Council of Ravenna in 1311 changed the form from immersion to pouring. Did the Catholic Church have the right to change the form of baptism from immersion to pouring? Of course not. Anybody can see that, but they did. They admit it. This is a Catholic book saying they changed it at the Council of Ravenna in 1311. They changed the form of baptism from immersion to pouring. We know what it was in the beginning because Romans 6:4 says we're buried with him, buried with Christ by baptism. When you bury somebody, you don't sprinkle a little water on them, put them all the way up under the water. Am I right? But the Catholic Church says they changed it. How about the Methodist Church? The Methodist Discipline 1956 says let every person have the choice of sprinkling, pouring, or immersion. You can choose to do it the way God said, or you can choose to not do it the way God says, according to them. So these churches who practice sprinkling for baptism, are they still using the Bible as their guidebook, their rule book? Obviously not. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call is 877-655-6755. Well, we talked about the action of baptism. What does the Bible say about who should be baptized? Here's Acts 8, 36 and 37. Philip, in verse 35, had been preaching Jesus to the eunuch. Something about preaching Jesus caused the eunuch to want to be baptized. So when you preach Jesus, you include discussion of baptism. Because it says, as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The eunuch wanted to be baptized. What's keeping me from being baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. May what? Be baptized. Which implies that if you don't believe, you may not be baptized. That's what Philip's saying. If you don't believe, you may not be baptized. None of the first century churches practiced infant baptism. This is a new thing. Methodist Creed Book, 1956. The baptism of young children is to be retained in the church. our churches like the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church and the Presbyterian Church and the Episcopal Church, those churches that practice infant baptism, are they still using the Bible as their rule book or their guidebook? Obviously not. The Bible says, the rule book for Christianity says, if you believe with all your heart, you mayest be baptized. Remember last week we used the illustration that if some boys got together and started playing baseball, if they were using the baseball rule book, they'd be playing baseball. But if they didn't use the baseball rule book, they're not really playing baseball, are they? And what's the rule book for Christianity? The Bible. So if we're claiming to practice Christianity, but we're not following the rule book for Christianity, the Bible, then we're not really practicing Christianity, are we? Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Question. What's the eternal fate of those who don't use the Bible as their rule book? And those who go along with such. Well, how about 2 John 9 to start with? Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if we don't abide in the teaching of Christ, if we don't follow the Bible as our rule book, that's just another way of saying the same thing. We don't have God. Can you be saved if you don't have God? Of course not. The only way we're going to be saved is through the grace and mercy of God. If we're not abiding in the doctrine, the teaching of Christ, we don't have God, we're not going to be saved. So if you're not using the baseball rule book, you're not really playing baseball. And if you're not using the Christianity rule book, the Bible, you're not really practicing Christianity. And then verse 10 and 11 says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That means those who go along with people who are not practicing the truth will become a partaker in their evil deeds. Let me illustrate. Remember, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35 says, let your women keep silence in the churches. It's a shame for women to speak in the church. It's clear women shouldn't preach in the church service. It's going to be impossible for me to commit the sin of being a woman preacher, being a woman preaching in the church service, because I'm a man. But what if I worship with a church that allows women preachers? And about 75% of churches across America do. I worship with a church that allows women preachers, and I just go along with it. I bid them Godspeed, meaning I help them in their sin or encourage them in their sin. Even though I can't commit the sinning of being a woman preacher, I'm a man, I could go along with it and become a partaker in their evil deeds. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty serious. Matthew 15:9, Jesus says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So if we're not following the rule book for Christianity, the Bible, then it must mean we're following the commandments of men. And this says, then our worship is vain. Surely you don't think a person could go to heaven if their worship of God is in vain, meaning if they're teaching for doctrines of the commandments of men. Like, for example, maybe they're teaching that an infant baptism is scripture, or sprinkling for baptism is scripture, or they're teaching faith only salvation, or they're teaching you don't really have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Or from last week, they're teaching that you can stay in divorce and remarriage situations that are adulterous, according to Matthew 19:9. Second and third marriages that you don't have to terminate those. Or you're allowing women, your church is allowing women to preach from the pulpit, 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. Or the church you're worshiping with is allowing homosexuals and gay marriages, even though 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10, and many other passages say stuff like homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Bible should be used as our rule book or guidebook. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The scripture is what we should use for doctrine, and it'll give us everything we need. It'll thoroughly furnish us into all good works. If we can't find it in the Bible, we shouldn't use it. Shouldn't do it. We'll get our doctrine from the scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3, 16, 7. Should be our rule book, our guidebook. If we're not following the rule book, the guidebook, for Christianity, we're not really practicing Christianity. Jesus said in John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he said in John 8, 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Talking about being made free from sin. We're made free from sin by following the truth. And the word of God, John 17, 17, defines for us what the truth is. So if we're not following the Bible, the word of God, then we're not really following the truth. If we're not willing really following the truth, according to John 8:32, then we're not going to be made free from our sin. We've got to follow the Bible, the truth, as our rule book, our guidebook. And if we're not, we're in a heap of trouble. John 8:31, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. We have all these people out there in different churches teaching different things. They all claim to be Jesus' disciple. And we say, well, yeah, everybody's his disciple. It's like 2 plus 2 could equal 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. And all those answers are right. No, Jesus said, you're only his disciple, indeed a true disciple, if you continue in his word. A lot of believers aren't even coming close to continuing in his word. They're not following the Bible. They're following what they, what's like or what seems right to them. Remember Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, you give us a call at 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. So I think what we're learning is that not only do you have to believe in Jesus, you have to follow Jesus' teaching, if you want to be saved. You actually have to follow his teachings in order to be saved. We should know that. Passages like Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So not everybody who just believes, who just claims to follow the Lord is going to heaven. Only the ones that are doing the will of the Father are going to go to heaven. You can't, it's not enough just to believe. You have to follow his teachings. How about Hebrews 5 verse 9? Talking about Jesus, it said he became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So you have to obey Jesus in order to receive eternal salvation. Now notice, Jesus is still the source. We have to obey him, but he's still the source. But if you want to receive the salvation provided for by the source, you have to obey Jesus, according to Hebrews 5:9. That's very, very clear. Linda from Kansas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Good evening. There are churches that serve communion maybe once a month, once a quarter, twice a year. Is that right or is that wrong?
So I'm going to read a verse here, and I'm going to let you tell me what you think, Linda. It's okay. In Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. You familiar with that verse, Linda?
Yes, yes.
What do you think?
I know
that's,
exactly.
If we're going to follow that verse, of course, if we're supposed to follow the Bible, the New Testament for us, if we're going to follow that verse, how often are we going to end up doing the Lord's Supper as a church?
That's right. That's one
how
of
often?
The things you
do. How often, Linda?
As often as we come together, I believe.
Well, every Sunday. Is it every Sunday or however often we come together? I mean, what if we come together on Wednesday night? Are we supposed to offer the Lord's Supper then?
Why not?
Because this says do it on the first day of the week, didn't it?
Okay.
Right? Didn't it say they came together on the first day of the week to break bread and have preaching?
That's right. Yeah.
Now, I think you're right about every week because every week has a first day. But the church I worship with, when we come together, say, on a Wednesday night or for a revival, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, whatever, we don't do the Lord's Supper. It's not the first day of the week. But on Sunday, we come together every Sunday. And we do the Lord's Supper because every week has a first day in it. Now, do you agree with me, Linda?
I do agree with you. One other thing about that, do you come together on Sunday morning and say, a person didn't get to church that Monday or that Sunday morning, but that Sunday night at a Bible study, and they're offered communion. Is that right?
We don't do that because the way I look at it in Acts 20 and also 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 34, communion is like singing. It's not to be done by yourself. The church is to do it when they come together to break bread.
So
we do it when we come together on Sunday morning. If you're too sick to come on Sunday morning, you're excused.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
Any other follow-ups, Linda?
I don't believe so. I appreciate your help.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your call.
Thank you. My husband and I listen to you quite often.
How long you been listening?
Oh, gosh.
I've been listening. Now, I'm Larry, and I've talked to you in the past, but I've been listening for 10 years at least.
Okay. I appreciate that. It's good to have some loyal listeners.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Whereabouts do you live in Kansas?
We actually live in Texas, but we're traveling through Kansas. We were with our family
for Thanksgiving.
So, yeah, we're on our way home from Iowa.
Y'all be safe.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye. Make up your own mind. Here's Acts 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. If we're going to follow the Bible, and if every week has a first day, it seemed like to me we ought to be doing the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. I'm not going to twist your arm. You make up your own mind. Acts 20, verse 7. Do you feel like it's okay just to do the Lord's Supper once a month or once every 3 months? Is that good enough? Are you following Acts 20, verse 7 if you do it that way? We were talking about obedience. We read James 2:24 earlier. We were talking about faith only salvation. James 2:24 says, by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Yet most churches will teach all you got to do is believe in Jesus, or all you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They say works, obedience has nothing to do with salvation. The Bible says that it does. God said that it does. Over and over and over again, we're looking at it. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. How about the first part of 1 Peter 1, verse 22 says, you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Now, Acts 15:9 says we purify our hearts through faith. So if you want to be purified from your sins, you got to have faith. 1 Peter 1 is saying if you want to be purified from your sins, you have to obey the truth. It takes trust and obedience, which is what 2 Thessalonians 1 verses 8 and 9 says. He talked about he's going to take vengeance with flaming fire on them that obey not the gospel, on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to know God. You got to believe in him. You got to understand him and know him, but you also have to obey the gospel. If you don't know him or obey the gospel, you're going to be punished. It says with everlasting destruction, verse 9 of 2 Thessalonians 1. Revelation 22, verse 14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What's the city that's being talked about there? Heaven. You know, we have the tree of life with Adam and Eve, physical eternal life. In heaven, there'll be the tree of life, spiritual eternal life, but you have to do his commandments to have a right to go there. Paul from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
One of my favorite verses is 1 John 5:13. These things I share with you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may hope, not that you may pray, not that you may think, not that you may wish, that you may know. And
right.
I think there's a conflict there with your faith and works salvation. Because if it's faith and works, how do you know you did enough works in order to earn your way into
heaven? So, Paul, you're asking a question based upon human reasoning. We're in 1 John in chapter 2, verse 1 says, he that saith I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you can know whether or not you're keeping his commandments. And if you're not keeping his commandments, you're a liar if you say you know him. If you want to have a free one-hour phone Bible study with me sometime at your convenience, Call or text me at 256-682-9753.